So what keeps me inspired is, you know, I'm alive because of chiropractic. I've seen the impact chiropractic has had on tens and tens of thousands of patients during my career. I saw what chiropractic can do and what happens to people's lives when they function in this vitalistic chiropractic paradigm. And I want to leave that as part of my legacy, that I left the world better than when I found it, and that a greater percentage of people were under regular chiropractic care. I'll tell you, that's what gets me up every single day. People ask me all the time, so how do you do it? And I say, regular chiropractic care, good healthy living, good healthy thinking, work with intention, and most importantly, work from a purpose. I pledge my life to my greatest expression of love and service for the benefit of humanity.
This is the Chiro Inspired Podcast, where chiropractors come to learn, to be empowered, and to be inspired. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta. Hello, and welcome to the Chiro Inspired Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta. Thank you all for being here, tuning in, giving me your ear, giving me your headspace. It is always an honor to have you join me on this mission to unite the profession while we respect the diversity and honor the principles which it was founded upon. Today, I have yet another repeat guest, and that is Dr. Gilles Lamarche. Dr. Gilles is a passionate chiropractor who has practiced for more than 25 years in Northern Ontario, Canada. He is an avid student of the psychology and philosophy of success, and he's spoken to audiences throughout Canada, United States, Mexico, Japan, Scandinavia, Australia, Europe, and the Caribbean. He is the author and co-author of more than 9 books, including Say Yes to Chiropractic Success and The Parker System for Professional Success. Dr. Gilles was named Canadian Chiropractor of the Year in 2006 by the readers of Canadian Chiropractor magazine and is now the Vice President of University Advancement for Life University. Today, I have Dr. Gilles on the podcast to give us some insight in a day of a chiropractor. And it was just a great opportunity to get him on the podcast and see what he's currently up to and what Life University is currently up to. Those of you who know me or who have been listening to the podcast know that I did not go to Life University, but I am somewhat connected to some of the individuals at that school, like Dr. Gilles Lamarche, especially since he's Canadian. And part of my goal is to help advocate for chiropractic in a vitalistic, salutogenic, and principled model. And I believe that Life University has a great program for future students to learn more within our profession. So if you found value in this episode, please remember to take a screenshot, share this episode on any social media platform that you are on, tag me at Dr. Letta and at Chiro Inspired, and also tag Life University, as I'm sure they would love to see what you got from this episode. From my understanding, Dr. Gilles and the team at Life University are up to something big, and I hope that they continue to push the frontiers of chiropractic forward, especially to the next generation as we progress into the future day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. So if you are on this journey with us, thank you for being part of this profession. As a reminder, please remember to leave a rating and review. Those help me so much to get the message out to the world. And as always, remember to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you would like to connect with me or Dr. Gilles, please always remember to send us a message anywhere on social media through apps like Facebook or even Instagram. But for today, that's all I have for you. So I hope you all enjoy my awesome guest, the legendary Dr. Gilles Lamarche. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Chiro Inspired Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta, and holy smokes, today you guys might know this guy's face, but this is Dr. Gilles Lamarche, a former, I mean, you know, he's at still a heart, probably a Canadian.
But oh yeah, he's, you know, absolutely.
What's that?
I said absolutely. I was Canadian. I said you can take the boy out of Canada, you just can't take Canada out of the boy.
True that. And I definitely felt that when I moved to the States for school, but You know, both Canadians here, and I really wanted to get more Canadians onto this podcast because I am Canadian, born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and it's good to be home. I love Canada. Obviously, that there's things that have changed throughout this whole thing in the last year or so. But you know, today's we're going to talk about you know, a day in the life of a chiropractor. And Dr. Gilles, I thought about you. Well, I thought about that title when I thought about you, actually. So, you know, I brought you back on here because I want to get an update on, you know, what you're doing, what you're currently up to, what's life, university up to. But there's going to be people that don't know you, Dr. Gilles, and I have a very young audience that don't go to Life University or have not heard of you. So, Dr. Gilles, maybe in a nutshell, I know you like to ramble. who are you and currently what are you doing in this life as a chiropractor?
Well, you know, and I thank you, Richard, and thanks for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to be with you and always a pleasure to share with our chiropractors and our chiropractic audiences the importance of who we are, what we do, and what life is all about, and what Life University at this point is all about. But I practiced as a chiropractor in Northern Ontario for 25 years, had the time of my life, and I got ill in 2003, was told I had 2 years to live. Blah, 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 blah. If you want to hear about that, go to YouTube and put in my name, Dr. Gilles LaMarche. You could listen to the story. But anyway, the short part of the story is that I retired from practice in April of 2004, had this amazing epiphany 31 days later. And today I am well, better than I ever was, and 100% because of proper, principled chiropractic care. So like I said, we're not going to go down that road, but that took me obviously out of practice. And then I looked at, you know, what else does a guy at 50 years old do? And I had been speaking at seminars, you know, globally for many, many years. One of the organizations that I spoke for a lot was Parker Seminars back in the day that was run by my mentor, Dr. James W. Parker. And I went to work to help them revive the seminar series back in the fall of 2006. And I did it as a volunteer for 3 months, ended up staying there for 6 years, started understanding academia, retired from there in 2012, and I was recruited to Life University by the president of the time, Dr. Guy Rickman. So I moved to Atlanta, Georgia in the fall of 2013, and I've been at Life University ever since. I am as excited about being a chiropractor today as I was the day I graduated 42 years ago. You know, I had a great time in practice, and I'm having a great time doing it. What I'm doing now, I'm actually currently in Miami for the day, which is why I'm dressed up in a t-shirt. I'm just about ready to go for a run because I got about an hour break. But because I work in different areas at Life University, but my current role is as the Vice President of University Advancement and Enrollment. For those of you who understand advancement and you say advancement and enrollment, that sounds like a weird combination of roles. It's a big role. Because I'm in charge of everything from the recruiting process all the way to the point where a student matriculates. In other words, they register and they start at Life University, whether in our chiropractic program or in 20 other degree programs that Life University has. Life University is the largest single campus chiropractic college in the world. We have in excess of 1,700 chiropractic students in our program. We have another 1,000 or so students that are in our undergrad and some of our master's programs. So it is a full-fledged university, which really was built differently than most universities because it started as Life Chiropractic College in 1974. So it's a university that started with a graduate program that then built undergraduate programs, where traditionally universities will start with undergraduate programs and build up to a graduate program. So Life University was created differently than that. But back in the day, the founder, Dr. Sid Williams, decided that he needed to bring undergrad programs. And the most important reason was to start getting people to understand chiropractic. Mm-hmm. So Life University was founded on the philosophy of lasting purpose, to give, do, love, serve from your own abundance with no expectation of return. And our health philosophy is that of vitalism. So if you want to experience a vitalistic healthcare philosophy and a vitalistic way of living, Life University is the perfect place to come and visit. For those of you who are in the chiropractic profession and have never visited Life, I encourage you, when time allows, when travel for some of you allows, come and visit Atlanta. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. Life University is on 110 pristine acres of land. I mean, it's just so pretty.
It is a beautiful campus, and I've been there. And, you know, sometimes I am envious of, I don't want to regret it, but I didn't go to Life University, but sometimes I wish I did and listened to some of my mentors. But I survived, and here I am today, you know, interviewing, talking with you, Dr. Gill. But, you know, it's an incredible thing to see what you are doing and how I consistently see you promoting chiropractic. And yes, you Life University, but, you know, let's talk about maybe this concept of advancement. How do we, you know, we're trying to push the frontiers of chiropractic forward in the sense of reaching more people. In my lens and perspective, I think we should do it in a principled, vitalistic, salutogenic model. Now, there's going to be people that don't agree with that. And, you know, there's always, it's up for conversation. But to me, what does that mean to you to advance this profession in this model? But maybe we can straight this way is, how are you guys doing it? And what are you having issues with when it comes to actually advancing our profession?
So, you know, if we think of chiropractic anecdotally in a chiropractor's practice, all of us in practice have seen what some people would term miracles, mm-hmm. right? The miracle of chiropractic, the miracle of healing. And I tell people there's no such thing, in my opinion, as a chiropractic miracle. The human being is the miracle. It's how we were designed. We were designed to be self-developing, self-maintaining, self-healing. And I believe that more than ever before in history, people on the outside are starting to understand that. People are starting to understand that they must take personal responsibility for their health. And I think we haven't done a really good job at teaching them how their body works and how chiropractic can actually assist them in healing well and staying well. And certainly the vitalistic salutogenic model that you're referring to is exactly that. We've got to figure out a way to actually teach it to the people, which means that we've got to be able to connect with people at different levels, some of whom are not even ready to hear the message. And I believe that the most important thing that Life University has done in the past few years towards that is to start promoting more good, principled, vitalistic, salutogenic research. We've got to create research. Now, I will tell you that I have colleagues who, like me, are principled chiropractors. They go, we don't need research. Their thought is we don't need research because we've already proven it. But you know what? We've proven it to ourselves. It's time to stop preaching just to the choir who gets it. We've got to produce research that is understandable to other professions and understandable to the politicians and understandable to the people who would gain so much from being willing to actually step into a chiropractor's office and discover if they have a properly functioning spine and nervous system or if they don't, and what that could look like for them when they start making different choices. So our president, Dr. Scott, who happens to be Canadian as well, Dr. Rob Scott,
yeah,
and our board decided to invest more money in research. From the university advancement side, which is an area that I'm in charge of, we launched the Founders Month of Giving for Research last September. And every year we will launch it again. So every year during the month of September, our goal is to raise funds to do more research of significance. Research of significance is the important part here because, you know, if you do a literature search, you'll find that there's plenty of evidence that shows the value of chiropractic as it relates to musculoskeletal values / and or conditions, right? There's tons of research been done on back pain and neck pain. We know that that helps people that have back pain and neck pain. Great. But what else do we know? Thanks to Dr. Heidi Havoc and some of her team, Dr. Stephanie Sullivan at Life University and some of her team, they've been conducting more neurological-based research that is now showing impact via chiropractic adjustment on brain function, on executive function, and therefore its effect on neurological function. We don't have enough research in that area. And so that's where we're choosing to put some efforts and dedicate time, energy, and funds. Now, funds coming from a university are limited. So yes, we do file applications for grants, but this Founders Month of Giving for Research that we will do, like I said, every September for the entire month of September, last year in its first efforts, raised just around $150,000, which is not bad for a first effort. Our goal is to raise $1 million every September. So just imagine, what could an extra $1 million do to create projects, research projects, that would actually help you, the practicing chiropractor, share information with your patient base on how chiropractic can affect XYZ. Yes, we don't treat conditions. I get it. I've never treated a condition in my life. But what I did do is I took care of people and I analyzed and corrected, when appropriate, their subluxations, allowing their nervous system to function well. But I can tell you that during my 25 years of practice, very few patients just showed up in the practice, saying, oh, doc, I want to make sure I don't have any subluxations so my nervous system functions well. That's not common occurrence. Certainly wasn't common occurrence in my practice. And I would assume it's not common occurrence in most chiropractors' practices, is most people come into your practice with what? Some form of symptom, mm-hmm. some sort of condition. So yes, we do not treat conditions as chiropractors. I get it. I've never treated a condition, as I said. But that's what brings people into your office. And so we've got to be able to segue the way we bring information, and it's got to be real. It's got to be solid information that's based on research. Interestingly enough, last year, of that $150,000 or so that was raised during the month of September 2020, a lot of those funds came from some satisfied patients. Mm. Now, never in history, I think, have we solicited patients to contribute to chiropractic research. And I will tell you, never in an entire 12-month calendar period have I gone grocery shopping and not been asked to contribute to something, right? There's something always happening, whether it's Alzheimer's or ABC, whatever it might be. Grocery stores are soliciting from their clients. Well, what if as a chiropractic profession, we put the message out, and in your practice, during 1 month, only 1 month a year, during the month of September, you as a practicing chiropractor decided to get on board with a little poster at the front, which we would supply an image for, or any other way that you wanted to communicate it, that you could garner funds from a patient, whether they pay an extra dollar for their adjustment to contribute to research or whatever it is that you decide, and then you as a chiropractor decide to match it. Just think of what it would take. 2,000 practices across the world that would be committed to raising $500. That's $1 million for those who are not math whizzes, right? It's $1 million. 1,000 practices who contribute 1,000, that's $1 million.
That's like peanuts compared to big pharma, you know?
Exactly. But what if we got to the point, Dr. Richard, that 5,000 practices around the globe chose to raise $1,000 during 1 month? That would be $5 million that would go directly into principle-based vitalistic research for the chiropractic profession. Mm-hmm. Think about it. What do you think the impact of that would be? And I know some of you are saying, well, $5 million is not that much money. I agree, it's not that much money. But you know what? It's $5 million more, and that alone could have a major impact on how we are seen as a profession. It's time for us to be much more proactive, much more forward. You know, I continuously see our profession as separate and distinct. It is separate. It is distinct. But somewhere along the way, if we created great collaboration, people are starting to shift to understand who you are as a chiropractor and what gifts you offer humanity. We've got to continue. And that's the direction that Life University has chosen to take, as I said, under the direction of our president, Dr. Rob Scott, and the Board of Trustees.
So what does it mean then? Because you mentioned the research of significance, and you mentioned it somewhere in there that it's you know, people come in because they have an issue, they have a problem, they have a symptom, and usually they're looking for a solution to that symptom, and they don't want to go to the medical route, they don't want more medication, they don't want surgery, and they're looking more and more for some sort of conservative route that's going to help them naturally, compared to having to take a chemical or go through again something more invasive. You mentioned that Dr. Sullivan, who I got a chance to interview on the podcast, which was great, you know, they're looking more into, you know, how the adjustment plays a role in the central nervous system, and not just peripheral nervous system, but the central nervous system, you know, the brain activity, how it works, how it functions, what actually happens when you input a force into the spine, how, you know, we're going to do our best in an educated way to understand innate. It sounds like, and you know, to me, that's what research is. It's understanding innate and how it works and what we can do from an educated standpoint to deliver an adjustment when necessary to help that person, heal and self-regulate, self-adapt, maybe a bit more efficiently. And, I always check myself on that because maybe I said that incorrectly or could be said better. If that's the route that we're going, I think I agree with you, Dr. Jolitz, and I think a lot of people listening to this would agree too that chiropractic itself needs more research, not for chiropractors, but more for the public. Because if we want more public accept, then it's the medium right now in which people communicate. Everything is about the research.
For me, you know, I'm alive because of chiropractic. You don't have to prove to me that chiropractic, you know, works, mm-hmm. because it does. And so that's why I said earlier, I said, we got to stop preaching just to the choir, which is each other, mm-hmm. and reproduce research of significance that is understood by other people. Our audience out there is more than 90% of the population in North America is the audience. The other 10%, they already love us. They already love you. Some of them love you because they came in with an issue, you helped them resolve, and they're no longer a patient, practice member, or a client. Why? Because they're thrilled. They got what they were looking for and they left. They didn't get the whole big picture of the value of being on continued care on a weekly or biweekly care program, because that actually will enhance their entire life. Mm-hmm. They didn't get that message somewhere, somehow, but they still came to you. And when they have a problem again, they're gonna come back to you because they already love you. So that's a piece. Will the research help them understand at a deeper level? Maybe. And the other thing that I used to tell people is that some are ready to be practice members for life, and some of them are not. So I never focused on the ones that didn't want to be practice members for life. I focused on the ones that did want to be practice members for life. Mm-hmm. And the others, I taught them. You know, it's like a drip campaign. A little bit of information. Every time they come in, give them a little bit of information until one day they may make the decision to be a practice member for life. So, you know, back to the research piece, we definitely have to raise more funds for research. And as I mentioned, interestingly enough, you know, some of that money that we raised this year came from some satisfied patients. In the past 12 months, beyond that, we have received gifts at Life University from three different satisfied patients. The first gift that came in will astound all the chiropractors listening in, was $80,000.
Wow.
$80,000 that came from a lady in the upper northeast of the United States who was thrilled with the care she'd been receiving with her chiropractor for years. Her chiropractor asked if she would consider a donation, and she said yes. And she asked her chiropractor, what kind of a donation were you asking for? And the chiropractor I spoke to her, she said, well, I don't know, like $100,000 or $150,000 would be great. And so this lady committed to a particular research project that is going on at Life University and agreed to fund a $150,000 project and sent her first check for $80,000.
Wow.
A satisfied patient.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen an $80,000 check come for a chiropractor to do chiropractic research. And then in the following months, another patient sent a check for $25,000, others sent a check for $20,000. So think about that. What is it? I mean, I know what it meant to me. What it meant to me is that there are hundreds and thousands of people out there that are so grateful for you, their chiropractor. They are so thrilled with the results that they've had in their own life, how it's affected them, how it's affected their families, but nobody's ever asked them to give. Nobody's ever made the request to make a donation to continue this great profession and to the advancement of our great profession and to do fantastic research. This chiropractor just asked. She knew the woman was wealthy. She knew the woman ran a foundation, et cetera, et cetera. But again, you know, yeah, it's great to have someone who could donate $80,000 or commit to $150,000 research project, mm-hmm. or somebody to write a check for 20 or 25 grand. But if we had 10,000 patients during the month of September that chose to give $10 or $5 or whatever it might be, think about the impact that has over time.
Yeah, that would be huge. And, you know, it's just starting now. And imagine, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years down the road, just what you guys are doing over there in terms of the research, what cascade of events that will occur after that, and what it's this domino effect, and you know this exponential trajectory of research coming out. It's going to be huge, and I think making sure the neuro is in that is going to open the door and keep the doors open for this profession to remain distinct and unique in its own way, because. You know, reality is, you know, people have low back pain, people have neck pain, and they do a Google search and they see, okay, physical therapists, massage therapists, osteopaths, they can go to their MD, they can go to a chiropractor for pain. And if we just limit ourselves to pain, then I think, you know, we're shoving ourselves into this tiny little hole of a bigger picture. And, you know, I think keeping neuro in, you know, the NMSK aspect of care is crucial.
So our current research agenda is 100% focused on the neuro of NMSK. We've got no MSK research going on at Life University. Currently, we believe there's plenty of that great research that's out there. There's certainly some meta-analyses. There's so many published papers on the effects of chiropractic care as it relates to musculoskeletal system. As I said, 100% of our research efforts are really focused on the neuro aspect of chiropractic and how it's actually changing the nervous system when we're well adjusted.
Dr. Jill, what can chiropractors do collectively to start, you know, supporting this sort of thing? Because I think everybody agrees that we need more, like, well, not everybody, but, you know, most people will say that, yes, more research will be great. What can we start doing to, you know, keep pushing this and keep moving this forward as chiropractors in a collective sense?
So my first recommendation is that you go to life.edu. At the top of the page, I wasn't thinking about this, but at the top of the page, there's a little black button that says give. As a chiropractor, if you have never given to research or if you haven't given to research in a long time, click on that button, give, and on the left-hand column, you'll see research. Make a donation to research, whatever amount it is. And then that'll put you into our database. We'll be able to communicate with you when we launch the Founders Month of Giving for Research in September. You'll have access on our website to collateral materials. For example, you could print an 8.5, you know, by 11 poster, put it in one of those little acrylic holders on your front desk. And then your chiropractic assistant could say, so Mrs. Jones, we're raising money for chiropractic research this month. Would you be willing to add whatever to your adjustment fee today that we could donate to chiropractic research? And as we start making that ask, I'm not going to be surprised as to how big that could become. That could become huge. So my first suggestion to all of you is that start giving to research yourself at whatever amount you can. If you want to make a monthly contribution, if you say, hey, I want to contribute the value of one adjustment every single month to research, then go ahead and say, I want to make a recurring gift of $40 or $50. $40 a month is not going to hurt the chiropractor, but $40 a month by 1,000 chiropractors is going to change the face of chiropractic on our planet. It's not that big of a deal, is it, for the individual? But collectively, it becomes huge that we can start doing even more research of significance. So if you want to participate, if you love your profession, like you would tell me you do when we're together, and nobody's ever asked you, or you've never thought of contributing to research, start now. I'm asking you to do that. Dr. Richard's asking you to do that. It's a thought process, right? Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, the way my philanthropy works is I typically, at the end of December, I decide what I'm going to contribute to the coming year. And a number of years ago, I remember deciding that I was going to send money to the Canadian Research Foundation, Canadian Chiropractic Research Foundation, I think it was called at the time. And I decided to write a check. It wasn't a huge check, but I can tell you what it was. It was $5,000. And I wrote the check and I sent it in, and I got a phone call from the executive director of the organization within that week, within a few days of mailing the check. And he said this, and I'm going to paraphrase because it's been a long time. He said, "That is the largest single contribution from an individual chiropractor we have ever received." I was like, oh my gosh, think about it. The largest single contribution from a chiropractor they'd ever received, $5,000. Mm-hmm. I understand not every chiropractor out there can afford to write a check for $5,000 for research, but I think that every chiropractor out there could afford to make a donation of one adjustment a month. Do you think, Dr. Richard?
Yeah. And you know, when you break it down that way, it seems like it's very little. You know, people look at the overall cost in the year and they're like, oh, that's a lot of money. But then if you look at it as like, oh, it's just one adjustment, you know, it breaks it down easily for them to say, hey, that's actually really affordable.
Because I think our, as a profession, individually and collectively, we need to step up to the plate. We need to step up to the plate and choose to play bigger than we ever have before. Never in history. I mean, this pandemic, never in history has there been a better time to be a chiropractor. And I've been saying that for 40 years, but man, this time it is really real. Never before in history have we been given this opportunity to step up and play big, tell our story. But what did most licensing boards do? Certainly across Canada and across the United States, as it relates to the pandemic, no chiropractors allowed to talk about the potential impact of a chiropractic adjustment and proper chiropractic care on immune system function. Why not? Because it's only anecdotal. We don't have published data stating that fact. What we know as chiropractors practicing in the trenches is that when people are under regular chiropractic care, they consistently tell you, hey doc, you know, since I've been under care, I haven't caught a cold in the past 6 months or sometimes 2 years. My children are healthy. They haven't been sick either at all. Could that have anything to do with the care we're receiving in your office? So even if you're young in practice, you've probably heard that already. And my answer would be, well, yes. However, on the scientific front, I would be ridiculed if I said yes to that because it's anecdotal. It's not anecdotal to the one who's experiencing it, but in the world of science, it's completely anecdotal. And you have no scientific basis to make that comment or to make that remark. But imagine, just imagine for a second, what we as a profession could have done for humanity starting last March if we had the evidence to back up what we anecdotally know to be true. In addition, if we had this evidence to back up what we anecdotally know to be true, imagine the impact that it would have on the chiropractic profession if we could have been able to disseminate that knowledge out to the masses of people who were scared about getting really, really sick. If they had known that chiropractic was a potential for them, what impact would that have had on the chiropractic profession? We wouldn't have enough chiropractors on the planet to take care of the people that need what you and I have. That's why I say, I mean, I'm still as passionate about being a chiropractor 42 years in as I was the day I graduated. And sometimes I think I'm more excited today than I was then because I see more potential for us both individually and collectively as a profession.
Heck yeah, I see the potential every single day. You know, I'm just 5 years in practice, Dr. Gil, but you know, I'm still loving it. It challenges me every day. It challenges me in many different ways where I can grow as a person. But it's given me so much, you know, this just being in this profession that I don't want to trade this for anything else in the world, because it's just given me the life that I have now, and I truly love my life. There will be days where it's hard. There will be days where you're challenged. There will be issues, whether it's at the clinic level, at the board level, at a political level, where you are limited, or you know, there's red tape somewhere, but you have the potential to help contribute to cutting that red tape. And if the way to do that is through research and more research, and yes, to my listeners that say that, you know, there is research, there is evidence on there, and you'll say what type of evidence will you accept? I get it. I'm with you. We have the case studies. There's clinical, there's observations, there's case reports. So there's a number of pieces out there that can help to the evidence and contribute to it. But I think, Dr. Jill, it's fair to say that you're talking about, you know, the higher level research that, you know, most of the world right now is accepting. And while I'm in the boat that we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater with the other stuff, I still think that we can, you know, have more research and more to contribute to our profession. I think it's not a bad thing to have. It'll give us more clarity, and will give us, you know, I guess in a political way, the more power to actually speak about these certain topics, especially, you know, here in Canada, like you mentioned before. But I'm with you all the way.
Yeah, you know, conflicts clarify. So, you know, we've had this huge healthcare conflict in the past 14, 15 months, and we have an opportunity to get clearer and clearer on how the host is fabricated, right? How you as an individual, how each of your practice members, how each members of your community were actually built. And I come back to, you know, every organic system in the universe is what? It's conscious, self-developing, self-maintaining, self-healing. Most people understand the basics of that, but in a crisis, what do? They never think of that. They go down a completely different road, which is the allopathic model that they've all been trained in. And we, if we're going to be sitting at the table where major conversations are having and where major decisions are occurring, it is imperative that we have more high-level research that is, I know, somebody can say, oh, you're bending to them. It's got to be acceptable to the reader. It's got to be on the same level acceptable to the reader. And I know when I look at, you know, Sackett's evidence, levels of research, et cetera, yeah, we, like you mentioned, there are some great case studies. There is some evidence. It's just not at the level that is currently in the scientific world considered to be acceptable at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the tough part. And I'm with you, Dr. Jill. So thank you for clarifying that and, you know, informing our audience of what they can start doing to, you know, help on a research at the research level. Now, Dr. Jill, last question before I let you go, because I want to let you get on that walk. You know, this is called Chiro Inspire Podcast for a reason. So, you know, after 40 plus years, Dr. Jill, what keeps you inspired to keep pushing and, you know, live this day in the life of a chiropractor?
Well, I am inspired every single day. I'm inspired by seeing some of our students function. I volunteer, believe it or not, it's not part of my job duties, but I volunteer to supervise a group of students that meet at 5:30 a few mornings a week. They're one day where they're 100% hands-on, which is where their required supervision is on a Wednesday. So every Wednesday, I'm at the university at 5:30 in the morning supervising a group of students, and I watch their intention. I watch their commitment to learn the art of chiropractic. I watch their commitment to learn to communicate the value of chiropractic, and that inspires me. But I'll tell you, my number one inspiration right now is my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to have chiropractic care available to them and available to their children and their children's children in years to come. And if we don't do our part right now, who's going to do it? And so I encourage all of you fellow chiropractors, again, get involved at whatever level you can, but do something. beyond what you're doing in your practice now and support the collective. I didn't know that we're going to talk about, you know, raising money for research today when you asked me to get on, but it seemed to be where it took us, because until we do it, nothing's going to change. So what keeps me inspired is, you know, I'm alive because of chiropractic. I've seen the impact chiropractic has had on tens and tens of thousands of patients during my career. I adjusted over 750,000 people, you know, or over 750,000 office visits. I saw what chiropractic can do and what happens to people's lives when they function in this vitalistic chiropractic paradigm. And I want to leave that as part of my legacy, that I left the world better than when I found it, and that a greater percentage of people are under regular chiropractic care. I don't know how many years I got left to do that. I'm 66, so whatever. Maybe I've got 20, 30, 35 years maybe to go. I don't know. But I'll tell you, that's what gets me up every single day. People ask me all the time. Even my team yesterday, one of my team members was like, and she's half my age, she's like, I don't know what you do, Dr. LaMarche, but you always have that level of energy. I hear what you did on the weekend and where you volunteered and where you did this and where you did that. She's like, man, I just need to have a nap after listening to you. So how do you do it? And I say, just regular chiropractic care, good, healthy living, good, healthy thinking, work with intention, and most importantly, work from a purpose. Know who you are and why you do what you do, why you choose to wake up in the morning. And mine is simple. Mine is simple. I pledge my life to my greatest expression of love and service for the benefit of humanity. So when Jill gets up in the morning, that's what Jill focuses on. That's what Jill focuses on all day long. And in the chiropractic pillar of that, it's how do we do a better job in bringing chiropractic to more people, that we have a better impact in 2022 than we did in 2021. And a higher impact in 2023 than we did in 2022, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, moving forward. And I believe right now that the lowest hanging fruit for us is to do better quality neurologically centered research. That is low hanging fruit. It just requires money because it requires a lot of talent. The talent is out there. It can all be hired if we have enough money to actually do it. Right now in chiropractic, we have, you know, small research teams. Well, what if we could build a much bigger research team? And the only way to do that is for you to choose to participate, to contribute personally, and to encourage your patients to contribute personally. And what I'm asking you again, not asking you to ask them every single visit, let's dedicate one entire month, the month of September, September 18th, 1895, if you've forgotten, was the foundation of chiropractic. That's why we've chosen the month of September to dedicate to Founders Month of Giving for research.
That's awesome. So Dr. Jill, please remind me of that when the time comes, but you know, that's a beautiful thing that you've started for the profession. I think there's gonna be a lot of people on board after they hear this episode. And if, you know, Dr. Jill, if anyone wants to reach out to you personally, how can they do that? Just if they want to know more information or get to.
So if you want to do it by email, you can see my name on the I guess on this podcast if you're watching via video. So it's jill.lamarche at life.edu. So G-I-L-L-E-S period L-A-M-A-R-C-H-E at life.edu is my email address. Obviously, you can always private message me on Facebook and we connect that way. For many of that seems to be the easiest way, and I'm definitely available there. Always happy to get on a podcast. If you have a group where you want this message to be shared, happy to do that. And yes, Richard, as soon as the webpage is back up live for 2021, which probably will be next month, I'll let you know about it and you can communicate that with your audience.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jill, I want to thank you again for joining me on the podcast. It's been my pleasure, my friend.
Always a pleasure to be with you, and thanks for everything that you do to bring this message of the inspired chiropractor to the world.
Thank you for listening to the Cairo Inspired Podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please take some time to rate and review this on iTunes or wherever you're listening. If you know a friend or colleague who you think may get value from this episode or podcast, please feel free to share this with them. My goal is to always provide you with value and to leave you inspired. I believe that inspiration is all around us, but more importantly, first comes from within us. We are all a source of inspiration for others and also for ourselves. If you have any suggestions or know anyone who would be a great guest, please feel free to email me or connect with me at www.drletta.com. I look forward to connecting with you. So until next time, this is Dr. Rich. Peace out.